Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt is the author of our book of the month for February, Faith Misused: Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Faith Misused at issuesetc.org. Find out how faith is an exclusively Christian word and how Christians can reclaim it in Faith Misused, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February.
And it goes to show that with these hate speech laws, which are so vaguely worded, so subjective, they can really be manipulated and used and arbitrarily enforced if you get someone in power who wants to make a point.
So many times you hear marriage today, people say, I didn't marry the perfect one. I missed the perfect one. I got stuck with someone who's not perfect. And so I need to leave this one and go find someone better. That's a selfish notion, a concept of the world that the devil loves to feed.
I'm, quote, just a mom, or I'm, quote, just a dad, or I'm just a good neighbor. I'm just a member of my congregation. I never did anything great. So this myth of the one great thing can lead to both neglect and regret.
What Jesus does, he sees the wrath of God coming, and he leans over, so all the wrath of God goes on him rather than on us.
Twins in Virginia love listening to Issues Etc.
It really is a rather unusual account. Jesus approaches Jerusalem, not for the first time, and he sends his disciples ahead of him for, it looks like, simply a means of transportation, a donkey and her colt. They come out with the animals, and then the disciples throw their cloaks on the animal so that Jesus can ride in. And then all of a sudden, there is a multitude of people. They're throwing their cloaks on the road and palm branches and singing Hosanna. And it turns out it's all a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson on Jesus riding into Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. Then Dr. Todd Peppercorn will join us of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, to discuss 16th century reformer Martin Luther, one of his theological descendants, C.F.W. Walther, and depression. Joining us for a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is the purpose of Jesus sending these two disciples into the city to find this donkey and its colt?
Jesus was really guided by the Old Testament. Time and time again, he would quote the Old Testament, like on the road to Emmaus. That was really important, where he was showing he's found everywhere in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, and of course, as Jesus before his incarnation. Now, in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And so, in answer to your question, the purpose of sending the disciples was to find that donkey. Jesus knew where it was, and he gave advice to them as to how to find it. In fact, they were just to go into the city. And he told them, what you will do, if anyone says to you when you untie this colt, well, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. So that's what the disciples did. And it's even quoted in the Matthew text, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." So Matthew even quotes from the Old Testament because he realizes Jesus was telling them to do what he knew needed to be done from the prophecies as he read them in the Old Testament books.
How does this account tie into Psalm 24 and Psalm 118?
Well, in Psalm 24, you have a wonderful example. It's entitled, The King of Glory. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Now, in that psalm, it says, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Verse 9 of chapter 24 continues, lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. He is the King of Glory. Now, when worshipers went to the tabernacle, they would reach Jerusalem's gates and call for them to be opened before God. David speaks of the gates as people who are lifted up because it is such an honor to be there. And therefore, we also believe, and the Sunday school children should learn this, that it is an honor to be in church because that's the presence of God. Psalm 118 begins with, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, this psalm is really wonderful to show us that God has become our salvation. Verse 14 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. And then it talks about the right hand of the Lord, where Jesus, of course, ascended at his ascension, verse 15 and following. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. That's exactly what's happening on this reading, which is usually used for Palm Sunday or for a Sunday in Advent, because the people are recounting what they believe Jesus was, and Jesus himself says to Martha, when he comes to raise Lazarus from the dead, that he who believes in me shall never die. And that's what verse 17 says of Psalm 118. I shall not die, but I shall live. Because even at the moment when our body dies, our spirit continues to live with Jesus in heaven, awaiting for that judgment day when our bodies will be restored to God. You also have in verses 25 and 26, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. And so the word used here is Hosanna. You probably say that when we say Hosanna in the liturgy. And what does Hosanna mean? It means save us. And it's what the children shouted to Jesus when he rode the donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Everybody was excited, calling out these words from Psalm 118, Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, they said this, even though they did not understand totally what they were saying, for they did not know how Jesus would save them. He saved them in a most peculiar way by dying on a cross, which occurred 5 days later after this Palm Sunday event, which we called Good Friday. So Hosanna, found in Psalm 118, refers to save us.
Why does the multitude gather there as Jesus is approaching Jerusalem?
Well, much of the multitude actually were coming from Bethany. That's the house where Mary and Martha, the sisters, and the brother Lazarus lived. And Jesus had stayed there. And it says very clearly that when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he came from that place. And the idea was that when he comes into Jerusalem, and we're looking here, it's not only found in Matthew, but other gospels also. It says, when they drew near to Jerusalem, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And says, if anybody asks you, the Lord needs them. This is actually a great Sunday school lesson for the Epiphany, because Epiphany, the season, is all about demonstrating that Jesus is more than a man. He's God himself. And to be able to know that this is exactly what's going to happen when the disciples enter into Jerusalem is divine foreknowledge. So we have here in this lesson, even though it's often used as Palm Sunday or a Sunday in Advent, even though we're in the Epiphany season, it can be well used for the season of Epiphany.
What is the purpose of the clothes and the branches being spread on the road?
That was a way of honoring individuals. For example, if I recall, it was David who came into Jerusalem also riding on a donkey. And that's important because riding on a donkey, you're coming in peace. If you rode on a horse, that means you're coming as kind of a warrior to fight and gain the city. But being on a donkey is very, very important. It kind of reminds me that Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem on a donkey, and where Jesus was born. And here he comes into Jerusalem on the colt of a donkey. And therefore, you see how Jesus comes at Christmas as our infant king, and now he's entering Jerusalem as our conquering king. And that was a point made by the Enduring Faith Concordia Publishing House material that helps teachers to teach this lesson and does some great teaching with that particular comment.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 21. We'll talk again about those words, Hosanna to the Son of David, next.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Alvin Schmidt is the author of our book of the month for February, Faith Misused: Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Faith Misused at issuesetc.org. Find out how faith is an exclusively Christian word and how Christians can reclaim it in Faith Misused, the Issues Etc. book of the month for February.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Deaconess Betsy Dodgers at Concordia University Chicago, inviting all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is February 4th through 6th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues, Etc., 713-855-2681.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The word faith gets used and misused a lot of different ways nowadays. It might surprise you to learn that for New Testament Christians, faith would have been understood as an exclusively Christian term. It's an exclusively Christian word that means true knowledge and trust in the incarnate Christ. It didn't belong to any other of the religions or in everyday life. That's the topic of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for February, Faith Misused, Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion, by Dr. Alvin Schmidt. You can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask for the February book of the month, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Faith Misused, Why Christianity is Not Just Another Religion. So, Tom, you talked about it before, but let's go into a little more detail on these words of the crowd. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Yes. Hosanna, many people probably did not understand what they were shouting because they knew that Jesus was a great help. But if you remember back in Nazareth, Jesus quoted from Isaiah about helping the poor and releasing people from prison. They took that to think of secular helping, temporal helping, where Jesus was talking about spiritual helping, namely the poor in spirit who have nothing to give God to offset their sins, nor those who are captive. He wasn't talking about freeing Jerusalem from the Romans. He was talking about freeing people from the devil and the curse of the law. So, as we said, that Hosanna is a prayer or cry for help and also for our salvation. They communicate the truth, though, even though the people were not fully aware of it, that Jesus of Nazareth is not only the Son of David, but he's also to be Savior of the world. And so these words were given by the Holy Spirit because people were so excited that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem.
Would this be a good time to teach the Sunday school children why we use these very words in our liturgy today?
That's an excellent point, because Jesus doesn't come into Jerusalem, the worship setting, just then. He comes always at all times to us. He rides into Jerusalem in the sense of he comes in our very own churches. We begin the church service with, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because as I often pray when I have another pastor helping me, we are not leading the congregation in worship. Jesus is leading them, and we are only his mouth and hands to do baptism, to do the Lord's Supper. He's really doing all those things. He does them unexpectedly because he is invisible to us. He was visible in Jerusalem, but he becomes visible to us, particularly in the Lord's Supper, as we receive his very body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine. But the children should be taught that Jesus is also with us in worship, particularly at the baptism of an infant. The pastor has no power to forgive the sins of the infant, but he has the authority to do so as he uses the words of baptism, "I baptize you into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." So that infant now becomes a child of God, as is every believer in Jesus Christ who has faith in his promises.
Verse 10 says, "When he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?'" How should we understand that?
Well, obviously, this was a big parade. And the CPH material asked the children, did they ever go to a parade, particularly around Christmas? And who is the main character in the parade? And a lot of parades at Christmas have someone dressed as though he were Jesus, you know, sitting on a float or something like that, because they want to impress that nothing is more important than understanding that Jesus is the main character, not only at Christmas, not only at Advent, not only at Easter, but every Sunday of the year. And also Jesus is with you when you read your Bible at home, because the Bible never returns empty. So therefore, we have this promise from God that he will take care of us, watch over us, and enter into our lives at all times. And when he does that, well, it's possible other people are going to say, you got a different attitude when you are undergoing suffering or sickness. And it gives us the opportunity when they ask, why have you got that better attitude? It's because, like the crowd says, I believe in the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So even the disciples weren't sure who he was. Remember when the boat was almost flooding with water on the Sea of Galilee? They woke Jesus up. He said, "Peace be still," and the wind and wave stopped. The disciples then said, not, "Wow, he must be God." No, they said, "Who is this man that even wind and wave obey him?" And it really wasn't until after the resurrection that they got a full knowledge of who Jesus truly was, the divine Son of the Father, who had become incarnate for one purpose, and that was to die for our sins. And that's why Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, because he was following what the Old Testament said that must happen prior to his dying on a cross, which took place a few days later.
The multitudes called Jesus a prophet. What did that mean?
Well, for them, a prophet, if you read like the feeding of the 5,000 or when he did many of these miracles getting rid of the demons, healing blind people, lame people, mute people, deaf people. They consider that to be, well, this must be a prophet, because that had been done by prophets in the Old Testament. Remember, Elijah raised the son of a woman that he was staying with when he was running away from an evil king in Jezebel. So they did miracles, and so you just assumed he was a prophet because he was able to do these amazing things. They didn't understand he was more than a prophet. He was also the savior of the world. So while they understood him to be a prophet, that he was from Nazareth of Galilee, they hadn't yet quite grasped the meaning that the disciples and many others learned after the resurrection, as Thomas said when he saw him, "My Lord and my God."
How should we understand the church's celebration of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem?
We should understand it as a similar entry that happens in every worship service, in every Sunday school lesson, in every Bible class, in confirmation instruction, reading your Bible at home, or listen to Issues, etc. on the radio. God is entering into your place, just as he did in Jerusalem. And so when we hear the wonderful words from those sources, we too can sing Hosanna to God, knowing that he will save us and that salvation is in him. It changes our perception of reality and also gives us the opportunity to share this message with those who do not yet understand Jesus as who he really is.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this lesson?
The law and gospel is very good. The law is, well, sin has brought death into the world for me and for all people. But Jesus, who is the promised Son of David, he came to be our Savior and King by defeating death in his resurrection from the dead, defeating the works of the devil, and making sure that all who trust in him will have an assurance of the hope of going to heaven, where we will live with Jesus forever and ever in a blissful union that will never, never end.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Find out more about Law and Gospel on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Dr. Todd Peppercorn joins us on the other side. We're going to talk about 16th century reformer Martin Luther, American Lutheran C.F.W. Walther, and depression.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther along in 1 John with Christ our Advocate, a new commandment, love not the world, last hour, and Antichrist versus anointing. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, "A Changeless Christ for a Changing World." While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Calvary Lutheran, Elgin, Illinois; Faith Lutheran, Dunedin, Florida; Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois; Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida; Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California; Prince of Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; St. John Lutheran, Belfry, Montana; Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri; St. John Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin; and Zion Lutheran, Hiawatha, Iowa. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.